Everyone has in them to express themselves, that fundamental thing that they know they are inside, that rather beautiful, afraid person, which might get translated into aggression or silence or shyness or all kinds of other things, but inside we know we are huggable and lovable and we want to love and be loved. That person is yearning for fulfillment.
Wakata Podcast. I am Juan Navarro. What's going on, folks? Finally getting around to recording the podcast today. Been running around, doing a bunch of shit. Which is the norm when you're in this position like I am, of making and creating comics and everything. What is going on right now? The one thing that I kept hearing about today as I was driving around and I was doing a couple of errands I had to do, to give me a chance to think about the podcast and what I want to talk about. But one of the things that kept coming up is the Oscars. Now, if any of you guys saw my Twitter feed last night, you know, I was eating shit on there. And like around 7 o'clock, 7:30, I was drinking beers, playing dominoes at a friend's house. And I was already hearing, like, you know, people banging away the drums about the Oscars, about this, about that. Oh, what are you going to do now? Blah, blah, blah. And I was already, you know, I posted, fuck the Oscars. That was my hashtag, you know. And by the time I got home, I didn't really have anything else to do. I was just trying to do some note-taking and sketches that I needed to do. So I said, all right, let me sit in front of the TV. And I ended up in my constant hypocrisy in front of watching the Oscars. Which I said, fuck it, let me watch. I haven't watched in years. I don't know these fucking award shows, one from the other, and... You know, this one, it has at least something I'm interested in, which is film. So I watched it. Meh. I don't get it. I don't see the reason to be that excited about something like the Oscars. Besides it being a award show, I mean, I guess that's something that's neat. I guess if it's something... I guess if they televised the Eisners or something, or the Harvey Awards, I would watch that. But really, what the fuck are you doing watching that? I mean, there's other people getting... stuff, and if you knew them, that would be kind of cool, and they're getting awards and stuff. Is it the glamour? What glamour? It's the people that were able to buy expensive shit. I mean, are we that far off that we're, like, looking at people wearing other things, and that's what we want to do? Like, that helps us? I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't see the objectivity of it, the charm. But I said, alright, let's watch it for other reasons. Maybe it's, you know, somehow it's gonna be fun to watch. It's some kind of event that, you know, will suck me in, and there'll be something. Not really. It was a really good way of just droning on, having something in the background while I was, like, writing and taking notes for a couple of projects coming up, and that's it. I mean, I was doing my calendar, but the thing that I did get from it, like, a couple of things that I did like from the Oscars, I guess, the thing that I get, well, you say, alright, something that I liked. What was cool is that, you know, some of the people that won, I mean, a lot of people, at least when they were making their speeches and everything else, they really took the time to use that as a point and period for different causes. It's just funny that everything is about causes now, and so I almost felt like if you're uncool, if you don't have a cause. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's, God, it's kind of stupid. And I kind of hate putting this much time into it in my podcast. But, you know, the one good thing I will say is this. The couple of things that I walked away with. Big Hero 6 won the Oscar for Best Animated Film. That was kind of cool. And I only say that's kind of cool because I think now Pixar, Disney, Marvel will sit there and say, oh, wow. You know, I mean, I guess it was a good commercial success. Probably not wildly huge success. But now they can say, well, okay, cool. Then these can be very viable. And I just think a Pixar Power Pack movie would be the shit. I mean, I know they're going to make Incredibles 2, and if They're going to make Incredibles 2. Come on. I know you're going to have to put somebody from Marvel affiliated with Marvel somehow. You might as well. One thing came from the other. You know, the Incredibles were, if anything, an amazing, amazing kind of mock Fantastic Four. That's what you did. That's what you made. Come on. So why not just finally embrace that in some other way? I mean, obviously you can't use Fantastic Four, but, you know, something. But at least that was a good pat on the back for anybody that was working on that movie and have people doing it and the property itself, that it made it pretty viable. So I think that was kind of cool. And the other thing I saw, well, I mean, again, my two favorites, the Grand Budapest Hotel. Good God, that's such a gorgeous movie. I feel kind of stupid just saying, oh, it's such a great movie. I mean, it is. It's just beautifully done, the way it's cinematically done. You know, if you ever sit down and watch it, you know, sometimes, you know what, put it on mute and just look at it. And that's how good it is. I mean, it's like every fucking frame's a painting. It's just amazing. The palette, the way they made it about. And I would like that it won a lot of technical awards for what it was. You know, I think it's just such a sharp movie. And the other one was Birdman, which I still haven't seen. But I thought it was kind of really cool that, you know, the Mexican director behind the film, Alejandro González Iñárritu, is you know, was able to get recognition for it. And I, you know, I'm glad he kind of stepped up there. It's just funny because there's that whole section where it was like, you know, you had Common and this guy come out with their song, and they're talking about Selma, and they're talking about Ferguson and everything that's going on. And it's kind of like this, and it's a real issue. I'm fucking behind it. I think it's an unfair and fucked up issue that's going on in this country about racism. But then you have this director who wins, you know, best director, best picture for Birdman. And, you know, his 2 seconds on the subject were more poignant, I think, to a certain degree. Only because I think it's just, I guess it's not the same problem. I think, you know, obviously you can walk away with both those situations, be it from being a Latin American or being an African American in this country, or being black or being Hispanic, whatever. I don't like getting into that. But, and, you know, get into the kill whitey fucking part of that argument. But I think it's just dumb. I mean, it's just, you know, I think after a while, just do the work. Do the work. If, as long as you do the work, everything else will come with it. And I think that kind of faith is the same shit that I put myself into. And I think a community has to do the same thing. Do the work. Do the work, and all these other great things will fall into place. Demanding all this, demanding this, and that, you already have it. You just need to exercise it. You need to use it. I think that's the big part of it. But I am behind what they're doing and what they're trying to say and everything. But I thought it was poignant, that difference between those two different parties, you know? But it was cool. It was cool. And I dug that they were able to do something like that. I love Common. Oh, he has that voice and shit. And he's all like, yeah. I mean, I imagine that. Was that guy ever have a baby voice? That would be hilarious. Is he like baby Common? And it'll be like, I want Baba. You know? The guy's voice is so fucking deep. But it was cool. But overall, what a waste of fucking time. I mean, what a piece of shit the Oscars are. And I mean, I say this again just because this is like me revisiting it and coming back. I didn't even forget what other shows. I always watch the highlights the next day, if anything. I remember when Tina Fey and this other woman was, you know, doing the other award shows. I was really into it. I was just because of them and their skits. But overall, God, go do something else. Or do something while you're doing it, like drawing like I was, you know, sketching or doodling or anything else. So, yeah, so that's my 2 cents on the Oscars and all the bullshit behind there.
How did we end up here? This place is horrible. Smells like balls. We had it all. You were a movie star, remember?
Who was this guy who used to be Birdman?
I like that poster.
You wrote this adaptation?
I did, yeah.
And you're directing and starring in your adaptation. That's ambitious.
Are you afraid people will say you're doing this play to battle the impression that you're a washed-up comic strip character?
Alright, so that was the fucking Oscars. Let's leave that alone for a while. Fuck that shit. Okay, so what else is going on? One thing I feel like touching base upon with for all of you guys, and you guys tell me, and we'll bat this back and forth. But one of the things I come up with sometimes, and especially when I do panels at cons and stuff, besides the how do I make a comic kind of thing where everybody wants the $1 million formula, that if I fucking had it, I wouldn't be doing a podcast. Sometimes, you know, and I've seen it go well, at least with the little bit of advice I've gotten. I've seen the seedlings, the little ones, grow out of this and start doing it. But doing a con, I think a lot of people want to be on the other side of that table. They don't want to be walking that aisle again, and they start thinking about doing cons. They start thinking about going to cons and getting their product out and getting their thing out. And I wanted to touch on that. I wanted to talk to you guys about that and see what you guys thought. And as far as, and I'll tell you, because one of the things that came up, and I'm going to, those in the know are going to be in the know, and those not in the know, you don't need to know much more. But there was a con that had happened recently around here. And I'm not going to name names, but there was a con recently that came up, and it failed. It fucking wrecked. It was a piece of shit, one side or the other. I was lucky enough to have the foresight and to not do it, only due to nothing else but relationships I had and politics, but mostly 90% of it was the attitude of the promoter that was behind it. And because of that, I said, you know what, I'm not dealing with this guy. I'm not going to do anything with this guy for whatever reason, just the way he came about and everything. And I was civil, and the guy was civil with me afterwards, and we were cool. And I said, okay, fuck it, I'm not doing this con. But, you know, whatever, best of luck to you. I hope everything goes great. If it goes well, maybe I'll be there next year, you know, that kind of thing. And I didn't think anything of it. And I just remember as the con came up, I had two of our artist friends that are part of the studio, Jeff DeCow and Jose Varese. They were going to go as the artists themselves. They were going to go do commissions and sell their own artwork and everything. And I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go, you know, at least I'll go see what's up, support, you know. And for me, you know, going to a con, especially locally, it's a lot of people I know. So it's like I get to go see people I know, say what's up, say how you doing to people, and, you know, so it's kind of fun and everything, too. I get, and this is like, I think this has been the first con that I've actually bought a ticket to go inside in like 5 years or something like that. So for me, I was like, oh, shit, you know, like, it was fun to be a civilian, I guess. So, you know, I went to see what's up and everything, and this fucking con was just a car crash. I mean, it had all the elements for it to be something more, but you could really roll a bowling ball from one end of the fucking con to the other. I mean, it was just bad. And, you know, it's one of those things that not only do I feel bad, and I get kind of mad at promoters, and I'll tell you why in a second. But this is not to punish or anything else, but I think a lot of times that if you put this negative, bad fucking energy like these people had behind a project of yours, it's going to show. People are going to fucking see it. And I think it's what manifested here. The venue sucked too. And that was another thing that the place where it was at was horrific. But I've said that for years, and everybody says it has too many problems politically and just overall the location, everything sucks. But they just did not promote that fucking show enough. And it had a lot of good guests, had a lot of good people, and it was really cool. But, you know, again, it was just not pan out for what it was and everything. It was bad. So, you know, afterwards, you know, I talked to a lot of people there, a lot of artists that I knew and people, and they're all, you know, this is where I get mad at promoters. A lot of people invest time, you know. It's not only that they paid the table, they paid this and to be there and everything. They put in their time to be there. And if you're, you know, the promoter and you're promising all this shit and you're saying about how, oh my God, I'm going to have these guests and all these people are coming and this and that, and you don't fucking deliver, dude, you have to show face. You're going to have to talk to people and you're going to have to tell them something. And, you know, obviously you're not going to give money back, obviously this and that, but yeah, it's a big fucking letdown. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. They come out, they say all this shit, and, so because of all that, because of that whole horrible used mouthwash of shit that came out of this, I said, you know, I think I'm going to go and tell people how I do it, how I figure what a con should be done. And if that, this is not foolproof, I have done some shitty cons. I have been across this country and have found myself in some Palookaville bullshit garbage cons. And also, I've also been in little fucking itty bitty nowhere fucking cons that have been like great. And sometimes, you know, you're not going to find the con that's going to, it's not always about the bottom line. Sometimes it's the experience, the connections, the people you're going to talk to. There are some cons that I'm going to tell you the truth about them as far as a publisher, you know. So, but let me just, you know, start with like a breakdown. First off, if you're really starting to do something, if you're really going to go into doing a convention, make sure your product is tight. Make sure whatever you're going to sell or whatever you're going to do or whatever you're going to handle is put together right, okay? If you're going to sell comics, if you're going to sell zines, if you're going to sell anything, if you're going to do prints, dude, make sure your shit's printed good. Make sure you have it beforehand. Don't wait for 2 days before the con or 3 days. Because then whenever you get a problem, that's going to throw your schedule off. You can't have it. Once the con starts happening, every hour on that floor is going to count. Every hour. So if you fuck up and you don't end up putting all that shit together, it's just going to bite you in the ass. Don't do it. Have stuff ready beforehand. Plan beforehand. This is not... You know, people want to do a con and they want to do the one that's coming up this weekend or something. Like, oh, there's one coming up this weekend. I want to go. Dude, you're stupid. You're not going to, unless it's some kind of small, loose con that will allow it, most of the time you're not going to be able to go. You know, some cons, the day after the con ends, half the tables are gone. And the bigger cons, I know, like San Diego, those are like, have waiting lists forever. Other cons like MegaCon, and within 2 or 3 months after the con's over, people are already registered. I know at least for Artist Alley, which I'll get into the different sections of cons and stuff like that. So you have to really, you know, plan beforehand. It has to be 4 or 5 months beforehand at least, and figure out. I would say if you're going to do a con, do something that's local, something you can drive home to afterwards and drive, you know, pick up your shit afterwards real easily, that you have everything in hand, just so you can learn the flow of things. Don't go and do a con in a completely other city where you don't know where the layout is, you don't know where things are, and, you know, learn the groundwork, you know, learn how it goes. As soon as you figure the con that you want to do, figure how best your product needs to be out there. Because one of the things I've noticed is that not everybody should be where they need to be. There's 3 tiers to things most of the time at a con. But most of the time, the 2 tiers that you're going to look at the most is going to be Artist Alley, which is the artist tables, the people that are making stuff. So most of the time a solo kind of fucking gig, but sometimes a small studio. It's the amateur junior kind of realm, you know? This is the minor leagues kind of thing. Now, awesome shit comes out of there. And I'm not saying that this is not supposed to be all beginners. Actually, great fucking artists sit there, because sometimes at least big time artists, that's where they sit and they sign stuff and everything else. I'm just saying in general, that's where everybody starts out at. The tables tend to be cheaper. It tends to be one table. And you do tend to be in an area that's kind of taken most of the time an artist alley. If the con's really cool, they'll integrate it in some way so that the traffic goes through there. But, most of the time it's a separated place. And then you have, you know, either, I don't know how they'll call it, because sometimes it's indie press, or, you know, the small press booth, or, you know, what have you. They have a bunch of different names for it. But these tend to be the small booths. These tend to be the 10x10 booth. These tend to be alongside vendors and tradesmen and this and that. Those tend to be the next tier. That's the one that's like the middle ground. And that's where you'll have your independent press, like us, you know, Creature Entertainment. And then you have, you know, your vendors, you know, the comic shops that sell back issues, stuff like that. Sometimes they'll buy 2 or 3, you know, and make a big row. And that's how they make their store in the con. That's where you have your independent vendors, the people that sell everything from t-shirts and statues and this and that, the tchotchkes. That's another place that you can, you know, go to settle, because the 10x10 booth is when you have a lot of merchandise you gotta sell. Now, some people can go Artist Alley. Some people go to Artist Alley and sell a lot of shit too, and they have a huge setup. And that's a whole other, that might be a whole other show in the sense of setup. But I will say this, whatever you're gonna go into, learn and plan. If you have a 6-foot table, plan for a 6-foot table. How are you gonna hang your work? How are you gonna make people see you? Do you have a banner? Do you have all that? I think that could be a whole other podcast. That's actually not a bad idea. I think that would be kind of cool if it was just a podcast on us talking about how your layout is. Because that's a whole other bag right there that you have to contend and think about. But if you have a 8-foot table, you can, you know, contend for that. Are you on a corner? Are you in the front? Are you in the front of a row, in the back of a row? How are you going to get people's attention? You know, remember, it's a Comic-Con. People are walking around. Everything is exploding in their face. So going back to Indie Press, when you go to Indie Press or your small press booth, you get a 10x10 booth. Most of the time, if you're in the middle or not in the, you know, not in the corner, you're going to have a 10-foot table, 8-foot table with 10 feet behind you, it's square, and that's where you can make a banner or anything else. Most of the time, we fight all the time and try to get corner booths. And once we have a corner booth, that means you have an 8-foot, two 8-foot tables in two different places where people can see you. So they come around the corner and they can see your stuff. That's a huge fucking deal. That's something you have to have sometimes. That's what we always push for. And then the tier above that is the publisher kind of major thing. And it's nothing more than sometimes the Indie Press or any of those guys buying a shit ton of them. You know, they'll buy a whole block, and now you're dealing with somebody that has 20 by 20 feet. You know, and they have their own thing. This is the kind of stuff that you see Marvel do or DC do or, you know, any of the big publishers where they want to have their big realm, you know. Sometimes because they have a huge amount of stock that they have to store to sell. Stuff like that. That's the upper echelons within it. That, if you're thinking about that, that's money, son. And that's something you have to throw down. I will say this. You know, once you figure out, all right, I'm going to go to do this con. It's a local con. I know where it is and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, go buy your table. Pay for it. You know, you're just starting out. But as soon as you get a chance, go to a con. Don't wait last minute, because this is, again, what people do. They always wait last minute. There's always like a day for setup. Most of the time, a day before it actually opens. The day it actually opens, they'll have a morning for setup. But you'll see that a lot of comic shops, especially, they have so much inventory they gotta move, so much stuff they gotta put up, so much things they have to like show. So because of that, they're gonna have like a huge, they have a, need a whole day just to set up. If you've seen some of these people, they look like they build their own fucking houses inside the cons with wire and all that crap, wire racks and everything. And when you do that, you know, go in and go set up early, go put your stuff together, make sure you have everything you need. You know, this is the time to like set up, you know, your banners or whatever stuff that you have to promote yourself for people to see you, and set up your tables. Maybe you're going to need, you never know if they're going to supply you with tablecloths. And you say, well, who cares about tablecloths? Well, no one wants to see your legs. And then you have all this stuff under your table and it looks kind of ugly. You want to hide all that. You want to keep it kind of clean and neat. And so people think, oh, this guy has his shit together and it doesn't look like a fucking mess. Find the stuff that you're going to use to promote and everything, what you're going to sell, how you're going to hang it, how you're going to see it, see the flow where you are. Are you in front of a big promotional thing that's going to take all everyone's attention? Are you in a crowded area? Did they stick you in the back? Those are the things you have to look into. And if that happens, how do you go about it? Now, I will say this. This is the other thing that's not marked in the how to do a con manual, but I think is majorly necessary. Know your promoter. Know the people that run the con. Everybody that's around you, go shake hands, say hi, what's up, introduce yourself, my name is so and so, how you doing, this is cool, talk to them, what are you expecting numbers, what, how's it looking. You know, sometimes they're going to be the most stressed human being possible. That's going to be the worst person to talk to you at that moment, and they might be curt with you and they'll be like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, goodbye, yeah, but at least they know your face and you can always talk to them afterwards. You know, this is going to be given. The promoters most of the time at that time are sweating their balls off and they're just going crazy because they have a show to put on. As much as you have stuff to do, they have 10 times as much. So just be respectful, you know. But you never know. Anybody else within their team, their minions, what have you, say hi, say what's up, introduce yourself. You know, even if it's a schmucky volunteer kid who's just handling the door or just, you know, literally just propping up a sign or something like that. You know, say what's up to him. Always be respectful. Always be cool. Because that's a guy that later on, when you're thirsty and you're dying, he comes around and says, here, have a water. And you don't have to buy the $4 or $5 fucking convention water. Is your best friend ever. That guy is the coolest dude ever now. So always, and you never know. This year he may be the schmuck holding the sign. Next year he's working the door. Maybe he's the guy who can help you get an extra badge. He's the guy who can help you do it. Those are the people you need to see. And be of service to them. You never know. Sometimes they have a box to carry in. Go and help them carry a box carrying. John's like one of the ultimate people at Creature to do that. John Ayua, he's like Mr. Fucking Helpful. He loves cons. So he'll be there like the day before in the morning, like sometimes before the promoters get there. And he'll be the first one to go and help out and talk to people and see about getting the word out and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the kind of thing you have to do. Because then afterwards, they'll be you're considerate with them. You'll be considerate with you. And then later on, it's happened to us at cons, you know? We have a good relationship, they give us a booth, and we go to see the booth, and it's somewhere stuck in the back, or we're looking at the bathroom, or some shit we don't really dig, or there's a corner booth that we can snag. We go to the promoter and say, hey, man, can we trade? Hey, can I get something a little bit better? Help me out, yada, yada. Next thing you know, they'll help you out, you know? You have to have that good thing, because this is also a business procedure, you know? Either way, you gave him money to be there, all right? He's putting on a show. He wants you to be there because that helps bring people in and entertain them and have them hang out. Because of that, it's a process. It's a symbiosis. You got to help him and he helps you. And they'll, you know, together you work towards something. If you have that, it's going to it's gonna work, you know, the best. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that you have to develop that kind of symbiosis and everything. And be considerate. And also, like, when you're at the con early, get to know your neighbors. Say what's up, how you doing? You never know who's there, what they're doing. Sometimes there are other publishing companies, sometimes it's other people, sometimes it's anything. Go talk to them. You never know in what instance you might find somebody that can help you out. They have info that you don't have. You know, they have printers that you don't have or something like that. You never know. Sometimes I've had the strangest luck with some people that are next to me and they have nothing to do with what I'm doing. But we end up talking. They'll be like, hey, I know a guy who does this. Oh, if you ever need a fucking, you know, either on the film side or anything like that. Oh, cool. You know, and now you have a new connection. Plus, those are the kind of people you can talk to and say, oh, really? You do such and such con? How's that con? And they'll tell you. You know, now everybody comes from a different place. The guy who sells used comics, who sells old comic books or something, or Funko dolls, he's not going to have the same business as you. You know, he might tell you, hey, this con's awesome for me. Maybe it's not awesome for you. Maybe you're selling independent comics. Maybe you're selling zines. Maybe you sew something and you put something together. So then maybe that's not your con, but now you have more information about it. Maybe there's cons that are just fucking gangbusters and you should go, you know. This is how you find out. This is how you make the relationships. And we become friends with so many of these people. Like now, like I said, you know, I went to this shitty con and I was there and I was hanging out and it's, you know, they made the joke that it looks like I was running for comic book mayor because I was walking around and shaking hands with people because I knew a lot of folks that were there. We worked together in a lot of stuff. Because of that, I was like, oh, cool, you know, it's fun, and you get more information, and you trade stuff, and you go have a beer afterwards, and you have somebody to go get a slice of pizza and talk shit. You know, I love the social aspect of it. It's the funnest part sometimes, just talking shit with folks and seeing where they're coming from and what they're doing. I mean, you know, there are a lot of crazies out there, and I'm one of them, and it's kind of cool to be part of that kind of community. So that's like, you know, the first step towards doing the con. So after all of that, once you have your convention and everything else and you're set up and you have your table and the way you're going to put it together and you're promoting and it looks really cool and everything else, now you got to wait for those doors to open. You know, what can you do before that? Again, set yourself up. Talk to other publishers. Maybe you have flyers. Put some flyers and ask some other guys that hold flyers at their table. And if they can, you'll hold their flyers. Trade some flyers around like that. You have more chance of people picking it up and looking at your shit later on. Flyers are a fickle thing because that can be a load of shit, you know? You can print 5,000 of them and maybe 50 of them will be answered. But it's part of the process. It's the best way to get your, you know, one of the best ways to give the information that you have and have them keep it there. That would probably, you know, be a good place to stop right now. And that's going to be the first segment of this. I guess I'm going to make another segment. I don't know if I'll do another 20, 30 minutes on the other side of it. Just the rules that I have while a con is going on. But to just go back and reinstate, you know, scout your cons. Find a con that's local first. Something small, something that's slick. Don't get into anything that's too over your head. You know, figure out the flow. Make friends with the promoters. Make friends with your neighbors. Talk to people. See what's going on, you know. And just learn as much as possible, you know, so that the day comes, you're ready to go. Have your product ready. If you have a comic book, don't wait a week before the fucking con to go and print it, or a print or something. Go find it. When you go to print that comic book, look around. That's a whole other aspect on the making part, but that's one of the things I wanted to touch on now, you know. And just, you know, overall, so hopefully maybe even later on this week I'll release a second part to this about doing cons and conventions and what you need to do and all this other stuff. And I think there's a couple of things social media wise that we can touch on and everything else and other stuff that we can do while you're at a con. There's no reason to be bored or not doing anything at a con. There's just so many things you can do. I'll touch upon that later. Like always, I'd love to hear your comments and see what you guys think. You can always reach me at fwakata.com, F-W-A-C-A-T-A. And also, you can find me on Twitter, at fwakata, and also on this podcast on Podomatic, fwakata.podomatic.com. But yeah, go to fwakata.com. You can find everything there. And I'll see you guys on the next one.